Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome to the program today Roderick Kurikoff. His new book is Unconventional and Unexpected, American Quilts Below the Radar, 1950 to 2000. He joins us by telephone from San Francisco. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vic. Thank you for inviting me. It's nice to have this conversation with you today.
Roderick, I understand that this book is sort of a natural progression from some earlier work that you've done. Could you tell us about the earlier books and publications that you've been involved with?
Yes, I would be happy to. And it has felt like a kind of a full circle for me with this new book. The first books that got produced and published were called The Quilt Digest. Michael Kyle and I, who was my partner in an antique quilt business called Kurikoff and Kyle, started that publication in 1983, and it was an annual publication. It went for 5 years, and then I produced a book for a collection of quilts by a well-known collector, Edwin Binney III, and his daughter Gail. It's called Homage to Amanda, 200 Years of American Quilts. That show exhibited in San Diego and then traveled for 3 years under the Sites Exhibition Traveling Services. I produced the catalog for that. And then I was offered the opportunity by Clarkson Potter Publishers in New York. They wanted the Quilt Bible, in quotes, written of a historical overview of America's quilts, which was a pretty big task to take on, but I decided I would be up for the challenge. And that book covered the period of 1750 to 1950. I felt that eventually I would go from the 1950 to the end of the 20th century time period with another book. But I took a break and decided that the focus that I had originally intended for that follow-up book really wasn't the path that I wanted to take. So I was grateful that I allowed myself to take this break. And this new book was even unexpected to me, sort of the avenue that it was going to take. But the response that it's getting and the way I feel about it, it really was the right path and kind of the right culmination of that story that I was telling kind of from the beginning.
Roderick Kurikoff joins us. His book is Unconventional and Unexpected, American Quilts Below the Radar, 1950 to 2000. And that chronological break is significant, isn't it? What changed about quilts right around the late 1940s? Why is there that break there?
Well, I came from the dealer world, but then was also became very involved in the quilt history world. And in terms of the dealer belief is that quilt making really stopped, or that there was no real interest in from the collecting side of quilts made after 1940s. And even among the quilt historians felt that World War II, just that time in society, in the world, in the United States, that there was just no real interest in, or very little interest in quilt making. Blankets were so readily available, and it just died off. And, you know, again, that was the belief, which I kind of bought into as well. I certainly was aware of the quilt revival that happened around the bicentennial, that women started making quilts again. There was a lot of interest in handmade, in craft, certainly kind of back to nature movement that was happening. And then the art quilt movement that began to develop in kind of the 80s and 90s of again, generally women. There were men that were involved, but it continued to be predominantly women involved. Many who were trained as artists, who used other medium as their expression, but then either came back to quilts, to textiles and fabric, or picked it up for the first time and just felt an alignment with that. But that all was happening and was pretty documented, but the quilts in Unconventional, Unexpected came as a real surprise to me. I was born in the 1950s, 1951 to be exact, coming to age 50 and then beyond that, there's certainly a looking back at one's life. And I just became much more curious about kind of my half century of the 20th century of my life and growing up, and became curious of what might, were quilts being made? Are they out there? What might they look like? But more specifically, I was looking for things that appealed to my eye and my aesthetic. I've always had kind of two avenues that drew me to quilts from the very beginning. That was that they were made predominantly by women, made by hand. That connection, I had a grandmother who was a sewer, a seamstress, watched her make things out of fabric and sew and mend things. So I just had that real love, and it came from an interest in history. But I also came to them from how they appealed to me as works of art, seeing them hung on a wall and viewing them as one might view a painting or another piece of art. So I just have always had those two strong passions around quilts. But this particular project, I thought, I'm really going to just look at what appeals to me visually and aesthetically.
Our guest today is Roderick Kirikoff. We're talking about his new collection of quilts. The book is Unconventional and Unexpected, American Quilts Below the Radar. In the introduction, you talk about how you got the bug, and it eventually became, dare we call it, an obsession. You really got into
that,
it.
That sounds a little too psychological.
Okay. Let's talk about when you first got the bug and you started noticing these objects. And the real beauty of a lot of these is we can almost call them found objects because in so many cases we don't know who made them.
Exactly. And that was a real surprise to me with this project and this collecting, gathering of this collection. But back in the 70s when Michael Kyle and I started going to farm auctions in Southwest Ohio, we would always ask, well, who made the quilt? And often people were really surprised, like, well, why do you want to know that information? It's like, well, we feel it's important to attach a possible maker's name. And often that was initially by other dealers. It was, I think, met with some certain amount of suspicion. They felt like, oh, you're trying to find out who I buy my things from. And we always stressed, that's not our interest. We want to put the history that's known about the quilt or any other object with it. And so just always made that attempt. But in most cases, the quilts were unknown. Then the state quilt search projects have started happening, starting with the Kentucky quilt documentations that started happening and recording the quilts that were made in certain states and asking families to bring in and documenting that history and getting lots of makers that way. In The American Quilt, A History of Cloth and Comfort, the sort of the quilt Bible that was written and produced, a lot of emphasis on that was encouraging people to keep that information with the quilt. Don't let it get lost. So when I started buying these quilts from the 1950s on, again, I started asking the people that I bought them from, and I wasn't buying them directly from the families or makers. One of my curiosities as well was about eBay, because it was still pretty in its early days. And where before, we were getting on an airplane when we moved to California, flying back to the Midwest and New England and Pennsylvania, driving around, going to a network of dealers to buy the quilts, I could now sit at my computer in California, or I could be visiting family in other places, and I could be bidding on quilts that were from all around the country. And I found that really fascinating, that that was kind of where we had moved technologically, and just being able to source material that way. Mm. But again, connecting with the people that I bought from, who made it, and again, being met with, well, why do you want to know that information? Or, you know, why are you trying to find out, again, who I'm getting them from? And again, stressed that that was not the case, but wanted to keep the history. But just quickly learned that, you know, even in the 21st century, that anonymous is still very much alive. Much of the objects that are seen and appreciated, we don't know who made them.
Roderick, my observation is that over the course of history, anonymous is probably one of the greatest artists that ever lived.
Exactly, exactly.
Let's talk about the book and the way the book is designed. It's a coffee table style book. It's big, it's massive, it's a gorgeous book. They did a fabulous job on it. And you've got all these quilts in it, and as you mentioned a moment ago, essays about quilts, about quilting. And I just love the layout. They did a wonderful job. Let's talk about some of the specific quilts. You've got one in here, Broken Grid Strips. You found it in Kentucky. And a lot of these quilts, you've also got images of the backs of the quilts, and in particular this one. And this is one that you really, really like.
I purchased this on eBay. The grid side, the broken grid side, was all that was pictured. That was all that I saw. And made out of corduroy, and I didn't have many quilts that had corduroy in them. But again, that would have been a fabric that was starting to be utilized in quilts that I found later on. But when it arrived and I took it out of the box, I saw all of this colorful fabric that I'm opening up. I go, what is this? And the back of it is this completely different, kind of made out of strips of fabric sewn together, some wild zigzag in it, and some great red that just gives it a lot of punch. I also noticed that there was kind of a gash in it, and my initial thought was, oh, I wonder if that could just be sewn together if the seam came apart. But just almost immediately, and once I hung it on the wall on that side, I realized, oh, my gosh, no, there's no way I'm going to sew up this gash. You can see to the backside of the front, and to me, it was like the artist had sort of taken a knife for whatever reason and slashed the canvas to kind of expose this inner side. And that's just so beautiful to me. And many of the quilts that are coming in either were double-sided, and I really felt that that was an expression of thrift. They could use either side, kind of get two quilts for the price of one. Or a lot of them would have just 3, 4, 5 large pieces of printed fabric that they made up the back. The majority of quilts that I had been familiar with in dealing usually just had plain cotton muslin back, either probably two large strips, which meant they could afford to buy large pieces of fabric. And in this group, for this book and collection, I started noticing these wonderful printed cottons, you know, just cut into no more than 5 pieces of fabric. And then, again, there was this, I felt, conscious placement of the fabric. And to me, many of those were just so incredibly beautiful. There's one in the book, and I'm not going to remember the page number, that I just have always loved the back, and I only showed the back of the quilt, of this particular quilt. But it was fun in this book to incorporate in the design the front and the back. And often it's, you see a quilt, the front of it on one page, you turn it over like you're turning over the quilt, and there's the back of it, which has never really been done in quilt books before. So it was fun to have a great designer to work with, and that the publisher wanted to incorporate, this, again, some new unconventional ways of showing the quilts and showing them in ways that had appealed to me as I was collecting them and holding them.
Well, it's really beautifully done. The book is Unconventional and Unexpected American Quilts Below the Radar, 1950 to 2000. Roderick Kirikoff collected these quilts and did this beautiful book. And your publisher was kind enough to give me an extra copy, and I want to give it to a listener. And this is how I'd like to do it, since we're talking about quilts. And quilts, I read in your book, were actually a form of social media, because a lot of women in rural areas who made quilts all by their lonesomes would get together and have these quilting bees where they had a chance to talk to other women. And so I think of quilts as really the social media of the 19th century.
Right.
I'm not going to give away this book through Twitter or Facebook. I'm going to go old school social media. I'm going to give listeners a P.O. box. So get out your pencils.
Oh, that's great.
And here's the deal. Send me a postcard at Vic at Post Office Box 3, Yellow Springs, Ohio, 45387. And here's what you need to write on the postcard if you want to try to get this book. I'm going to pick one postcard and send the book to that person who amuses me with their postcard. What you need to put on it is your favorite person that you've heard on the Book Nook. You don't have to say the book, but your favorite person that you've heard on the Book Nook since we went on the air with it in 1994, and then just put your phone number on there. And you can also write a sentence explaining why you picked that particular person. And I'll give the address out one more time at the end of the program. That's Vic at P.O. Box 3, Yellow Springs, Ohio, 45387. I will pick a postcard and send one copy of this book to some lucky listener, Unconventional and Unexpected. What do you think of that, Roderick?
Oh, I think it's a great idea. And I love sort of the old-fashionedness of it. I'm thrilled when occasionally I'll get a letter from somebody saying how much they loved the American quilt. Most of the response for Unconventional and Unexpected has been via email and Facebook, which is wonderful, but it's so exciting when a letter comes in that somebody has handwritten and said what they think of it. And so I think that's a great idea, Vic.
I want listeners to send me postcards and also to buy postage stamps, because I think the post office would love that. Let's dive back into these quilts.
Will you let me know who wins?
I will. In fact, I will tell you when that happens. All righty. The book
is
Unconventional and Unexpected American Quilts Below the Radar. Roderick Kirikoff joins us. And Roderick, a moment ago you mentioned that you were finding quilts in Southwest Ohio. Now, I know there's a story there. Let's talk about that. What's your connection to Yellow Springs?
Well, it goes back earlier. My father was born in Southwest Ohio, in Preble County, which is on the other side of Dayton, west of Dayton. So I still have a lot of family in that area. But I had moved back, or I'd spent summers in 75 and 76 from going to school in California, living in Preble County and working there. But I went to Yellow Springs because I'd heard about Antioch and never been, and I just fell in love with it. I met a man there. His name was Michael Kyle. We ended up being partners. We lived together in Yellow Springs for 2 years. I loved the time of living in Yellow Springs. It has been one of my favorite times of my life. I had connections with students at Antioch. I was actually dancing with the dance department. We had wonderful connections with the community of people in Yellow Springs. It certainly is a more liberal Midwest town, which appealed to me. And it just was one of the most exciting times of my life. It was just such a special, special community. And sometimes I kind of wonder, why did we leave in 1978 to move to San Francisco? But it was the right move to make. But I still have some very dear friends in Yellow Springs, and it's just a special place.
I heard a rumor that you and Michael used to do a little radio show here.
Yes, he actually started it. I'm trying to remember the title of it, but it was a gay-themed radio program that was just kind of reaching out to a Midwest audience. We were involved with the Gay Center at Antioch, Yeah, it just was really wonderful to know that we were creating this voice in the night that people might listen to, who were struggling and dealing with either coming out themselves or possibly parents dealing with children. But it was really a wonderful thing to have done and been involved with. I particularly remember this one young man that contacted us who lived not far, but was in the closet, and it was a voice to him and gave him hope and encouragement.
Well, we're going to have to dig into the archives and see if we can't find some audio from that program. And if we do,
that would be interesting.
We'll let you know. All right, Roderick.
Okay.
You're listening.
You've been doing this program for quite a while. I didn't realize it had been going on for almost 10 years.
Off and on since 1994.
Where does
the time go? Our guest today is Roderick Kurikoff. His book is Unconventional and Unexpected: American Quilts Below the Radar, 1950 to 2000. This is a beautiful book. Why is it that quilts don't get the respect of, say, paintings? Why is that?
I think there are a lot of reasons. The art world is a very rarefied world. I think that's changing a lot. There was a wonderful article that artist collectors friends of mine just sent me recently about, and I've been observing that on my own in watching and looking at what's going on in the contemporary art world. There's much more use of textile and fabric and happening now with young artists, and lots of connections to fabric and textiles of a lot of the modern artists that are highly regarded and respected. We know now that some of them collected quilts, had fabric, had textiles in their collections, clearly inspired by it. But the new work that's happening now in contemporary art is gaining a lot more respect. And it's nice to see in the media that's being pointed out too. But I think there's, kind of always, even in the art world, male artists tend to sell better and get higher prices than women artists. There's always been kind of a looking down on craft, but that all is changing so much. There just isn't that dialogue between, well, is it art or is it craft? There's just so much less than that. But things go in cycles. Quilts were very, very popular and highly collected in the 80s and the 90s, and then it kind of dropped off. But there's, I think, a shift and a trend upward now again. And again, there's always been people who have just constantly remained interested in them. But in terms of cycles and trends, those go up and down.
Well, you won't be surprised to know that there's a lot of quilting going on in Yellow Springs, Ohio, right now. A lot of quilting.
Absolutely. I know that there is.
I see we're running out of time right now. I have time for just one more quick question.
Okay,
Roderick.
Good. I'll try to make it short.
You have an eye.
Be a little wordy.
When you see a quilt that you have to have, what is it about the quilt that you just have to have it? What is it you look at?
It's. I kind of feel it in my gut. I just know immediately that it just has, often it's generally something that's quirky, it's playful. I feel sort of the soulfulness of the maker in it. A lot of people have talked about, they find the quilts in the book happy. That was kind of a surprise, but that comment's come back many times now. It's like, all of the quilts are so happy. I feel happy going through the book. But for me, it was the visual, and it was something that just appealed to my eye and aesthetic. And again, often it was like a really visible mistake, and I use mistake in quotes. It's not a judgmental thing, but she wasn't trying to do it perfectly. She was giving herself a lot of freedom and room.
Well, I agree. When I read the book, it made me happy looking at these pictures, and I'd like to make at least one listener happy. I'm going to give out that address one more time. I have an extra copy of Roderick's book, Unconventional and Unexpected American Quilts Below the Radar. To try to get this book, you need to send me a postcard. Send it to Vic at Post Office Box 3. That's 3, the number 3, Yellow Springs, Ohio, 45387. And just write on the postcard your favorite Book Nook interview over the years and maybe one sentence telling me why, and put your phone number on there, because I'll call you if you're the person I pick to receive this book. And we really appreciate your time today, Roderick.
Thank you, Vic. I really enjoyed it, and it's nice to transport myself back to Yellow Springs for this time that we've conversed. And thank you for your beautiful review in the paper of the book.
My pleasure. We wouldn't be doing this interview without that. You contacted me and said, hey, let's do a radio. And here we are.
Right.
The book is Unconventional and Unexpected American Quilts Below the Radar, 1950 to 2000. Roderick Kirikoff wrote it, and he has been our guest today in the Book Nook. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis. Thanks for listening.